vegetables and put them in tinfoil for the grill.
"You know,"
Jonah began, his back turned to her,
"the steaks look like my best work, if I have to say so myself."
He glanced at her and flashed a grin as he began to fill the plate with their food. Placing it on the porch's table, he asked,
"Got anything around here to drink? Maybe even some utensils?"
She'd forgotten to prepare the table. She'd forgotten about a lot. "I'm sorry, I was just..." Danny trailed off and saw that he wasn't even waiting for a reply. Jonah had already ducked inside and emerged with most everything they needed. Plates, forks, knives, butter, salt, 2 glasses, and a pitcher of water. She took the plates from his hand, and they arranged the table with the food in the middle. When she sat down, Jonah still stood. She cast a questionable grin his way, and Jonah chuckled, pulling out a bottle of beer from his back pocket.
"We can share, if you tell me one thing."
"What's that?"
"Why you love that car so much."
She'd been to hell and back, and that car was the only thing that still stood intact. "I bought that car with money I earned and because my sisters hated it."
"I bet their boyfriends loved it."
"That made them hate it even more." Danny grinned. It was true. Julia had thrown more than her share of fits. She threatened, she pleaded, she cried, and every time Aunt Catherine and Erica would get pulled into it. Aunt Catherine hated that car almost as much as Julia and Erica.
"I know I did."
Danny looked up. "Erica." He pulled back the parted husks.
"I'd never been to your home except one time. I saw your car, and I asked Erica about it. If it was hers, who owned it, questions like those. Your sister blew up, literally, just... she went off like a firecracker."
"Bet that made her hotter."
"No."
Jonah laughed.
"I guess I was always grateful, in some way."
"What do you mean?"
"I don't know."
He shifted and leaned his elbows on the table, holding the corn just before his mouth.
"I think when I asked those questions about your car, your sister's lid flew off, and I always thought that I got a window to the future. I saw a little into your sister. Scared the shit out of me. I tucked tail and ran."
"She was so mad, too," Danny noted, grinning. She still hadn't moved to place any food on her plate. Her hands hadn't left her lap. "You never dated Julia."
Nah. She was always kind of quiet around my crew, but some of the guys were into her. I wasn't. Nah. I wanted to know who the owner of the Mustang was."
"How come you never said anything?"
"We were at the Rush one day, and I saw you pull up to pick up Erica. I was going to come over then, but when you got out of the car..."
Jonah shrugged.
"I just... you had this look about you that..."
"What?"
"When I saw you, I recognized you from around town. I never really took notice of you, but that day at Tenderfoot, it looked like you wanted to be anywhere but around there. And then Erica snapped at you and she made you wait for her."
Erica wanted to finish hearing about Kelly Lynn's date with Ted Foster. Danny knew from previous experience that Erica would make her wait for hours. Danny hadn't wanted to wait. So when Erica turned her back on her after chewing her head off, Danny turned right around and got inside the Mustang. She laughed now at the memory. "I left her. She screamed my head off that night. I got the silent treatment for 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks had been a vacation."
"Yeah."
Jonah grinned over his corncob at her.
"Your sister was pissed."
"You never introduced yourself to me because of that?"
"I never introduced myself because I saw why you didn't want to deal with the rest of us. Every time I saw you, you were always walking away from something or someone."
She left. She did it her entire life. She just left and walked away. She left her family. She left for 10 years.
"I'm here if you decide to stop running."
She left everything that she had in the last 10 years, too. Jonah began cutting into his steak.
I always felt that I would have been pestering you if I ever said hello or something.
Danny's plate was still untouched. Her hands had yet to leave her lap. He added, holding her gaze.
Truth is, you kinda intrigued me after that day when you ditched your sister. I thought it took balls for someone to do that to Erica O'Hara. No one did that. All those girls worship the ground your sister walked on, but I thought you must have had steel in that spine of yours to do what you did.
I was her sister. Her voice grew hoarse. She didn't know what compelled her, but she heard herself saying, "When I left, I traveled a bunch. I wanted to be something else other than what I'd always been here. I worked here and there, but there was this group. I got involved with them, and at first it was great. We laughed, we drank, they were nice to me. Then, things changed. This one girl, her name was Parker, she had this thing for this guy who started traveling with us.
I'm here."
She swallowed a lump in her throat and kept going. "She was a little like Erica. She got all the guys, but she wanted this one guy, and he wanted me. So she started to hate me, and then the group did, too."
"Hi."
He had dark eyes, dark hair, and a warm smile. He looked like Jake, but he wasn't Jake. He offered his hand and said as she shook it,
"I'm Mitch, but call me Boone."
Boone chose her. "I went off on my own again." Boone went with her. She remembered when she shook his hand. It was sturdy, the tiniest bit rough, like he wasn't used to manual labor until recently, and she blushed that night. She felt her cheeks now. She was blushing again. "Sorry." She ducked her head, laughing softly. "I don't remember what I was talking about."
"What happened to the guy?"
Boone had fallen in love with her. "Nothing. It didn't matter. She left him, too." "I'm a walker. That's what I do. I walk away."
"I know."
Her breath caught in her throat. She stared into those eyes. He was serious, but there was depth there. "You're not what everyone says you are you?"
"That depends on what they say."
He gave her a half grin. "You're a ladies' man. You can charm your way into anyone's pants. You're a heartbreaker." But as she was saying that, she couldn't remember if those words had been used to describe him or if it was her own memory. She remembered what May said about him that first night over their nightcap. "May told me you're dangerous to a hurting heart." His half-grin lessened.
"Really?"
"I think that was her way of warning me to steer clear of you. She said you moved back to Craigstown a few years ago."
"A few. Around 3. I take care of the river now."
"You were a big headhunter before." He nodded. Half-grin was almost gone.
"I worked for my father's company for a bit. Yeah."
She frowned. She couldn't remember anything about his parents from before. "Your father?" She remembered he had a sister.
"My sister and I grew up here with my mom. She let us believe that our dad didn't want anything to do with us, but that changed when she died. Lawyers had to involve him, and suddenly he wanted back into our lives again. I was a junior in school. Aiden was a senior. I went to college on his dime and worked at his company for a while."
His eyes grew downcast, and he cleared his throat.
"I didn't like who I was becoming, so I decided to change. I've never regretted it for a second."
He looked up, looking right into her eyes.
"How about you? Anything you regret?"
"So much." It was on the tip of her tongue. She swallowed those words and instead said, forcing a small laugh out, "I know one thing that people think I'm going to do, but I'm not. I'm not going to break up Jake and Julia, and I'm not going to regret not doing that." She laughed again. This time it was less forced.
That's good to know, but I'm not here to find out that information either.
You're here for my car.
Not really.
You're here for a ride?
That'd be nice.
There was a different look in his eyes. Something more. He didn't react to her comment about the car, not like before. It was like... She cocked her head to the side. You're not here about the car, are you? He shrugged.
I'd still like to take it for a ride, but no. The car was an excuse. The fair's tomorrow. You going?
He moved his fork around his plate and sank it into his last piece of meat.
I think you should go. You can go with Aiden, if you want.
Your sister? Danny asked in surprise.
Yeah. She and Kate are going together. They're good friends.
He rolled his eyes.
Kate usually shows up Friday nights, and the two of them gossip about every girl I've ever dated. That's what friends do, right?
Gossip?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
You should get some.
Jonah placed his cup on the table.
You're right, you know. Everyone thinks you're after Jake and Julia. I know that my presence is supposed to help assuage that, but it'd be good if you were friends with my sister. Kate, also.
And why's that?
Because Aiden is not friends with Julia.
He cleared his throat.
And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not getting any more involved.
What? She heard herself tease. Too good for the gossip scene?
Exactly.
His eyes darkened.
Come to the fair. I honestly think my sister would love seeing you again.
Are you going to be there? His grin deepened.
I might be around, but I have to warn you.
He'd finished eating, and he stood with his plate in his hand. He said, before heading inside,
If you don't agree to come, either my sister or Kate is going to show up to help convince you.
He disappeared beyond the door, but she heard him call back,
Don't say I didn't warn you.
8. She had been warned. Jonas stayed to help with the dishes, despite her reassurances she didn't mind cleaning up. He only shook his head and filled up the sink. He washed, she dried, and he kept asking her questions about her travels. Once he was done, he helped finish with the drying and then gave a wave as he repeated his warning once again about the fair. He said,
Don't be surprised if one of them show up tomorrow.
And it was a day later, after she'd gotten her first good night's sleep in a long time, when she heard a car honking from the driveway. Danny moved to the front door to see Jake scowling from his squad car. He stayed sitting while the passenger door opened. Hey, Danny! Kate got out and approached, a friendly smile and wave. Danny was holding a cup of coffee and raised it in the air as a greeting. Morning. Would you like a cup? Kate groaned, closing her eyes a moment and swaying on her feet. That sounds amazing. She jerked a thumb over her shoulder. I've been dealing with cranky ass all morning. I need caffeine since I can't have anything stronger till I get off duty, and I have to tell you, Kate began as the door slammed shut behind her. I swear that Julia is a greyhound. It's like she can just sniff out whiffs of you on his uniform or something. Whatever she said must have been a doozy.
Danny held out a cup. I didn't realize the power of my presence. Are you kidding me? Kate snorted, taking the cup. I might have to deal with Krabby out there, but trust me when I say that this is the most fun our town has had in a year.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah. Taking a sip, she continued. And speaking of the town, that's why I'm here. I know Jonah mentioned the fair, but I don't think you have a complete understanding of what's going on.
She raised her cup toward Danny.
I'm here to fill you in.
Danny hid her smile. Suddenly, a more reserved expression came over Kate's face. The little spark dimmed in her eyes, and her mouth moved into a serious line.
I'm taking some liberties coming to you and talking about this, but I hope that's okay with you. Also, I feel like I'm already involved because of my sourpuss partner out there.
Danny prepared herself.
I'm ready.
She nodded at Kate, folding her hands on her lap. Her own coffee was left on the table. Danny had a feeling she needed to hear this head on. No distractions.
Politics. That's what this town is about. small-town politics, and you, my dear, just threw yourself smack in the middle of it. You see, most of this town worshipped your little sister, blessed be her name, but your other sister, she's been walking around this town like she's got a crown on that head of hers. A hardened look entered Kate's eyes. Most of us are tired of it. Really tired of it. And that's where you come in.
Me?
Yep, because you are going to take Jake back from her. We all know he was rightfully yours in the first place. She leaned forward. And when you do... Kate really didn't like Julia. Danny nodded, filling in the blanks. Julia will be a puddle.
Exactly.
Kate lifted her cup in a salute. And her group will be knocked out of power. People like Jake in the community, but they don't like him with Julia.
And I'm supposed to be the one to break them up.
Exactly. Kate beamed at her, missing the sarcasm in Danny's voice.
Except that I have no intention of getting back together with Jake.
Really? Her eyes rounded, like a sad puppy dog.
You don't?
I don't.
Are you sure? I thought I saw a flirt going on yesterday.
No flirt.
No.
Danny shook her head.
No.
You sure? Kate asked again.
I'm sure.
Can I ask why not?
I didn't come home with an agenda for small-town politics or to knock my sister off her throne. I came home just to come home.
Well, I'm disappointed. Kate sighed, leaning back in her seat with her shoulders slumped. The battle just defeated her.
I was so hoping. You stole my entire thunder I had going all day yesterday. I had everything worked out in my mind, and there'd be happily ever afters all around for everyone.
Why don't you steal Jake from Julia? Danny would have laughed if she hadn't been taking a sip of coffee as she saw the horror come into Kate's eyes.
Or not. Hell no. I like him as my partner, but that's it for me.
Man, she sighed again, the corners of her mouth dipping down.
This just means that Julia has him for good. Jake's never dated outside the O'Hara gene pool. He's doomed forever.
Maybe he's actually happy with her?
No, that can't be.
Kate shook her head.
I was so hoping to get you on board.
You said the rest of you are tired of her. Who's the rest of you?
Me, Aiden and Bubba. Oh, those two married. Her and Bubba Meadows. And Robbie Gray. He's a lawyer, you know. And it's perfect because Kelly Lynn is his secretary. Sometimes we ask him to find out what they're all planning.
Robbie Gray? Wasn't he
tall, skinny, and nerdy?
Yep. A social misfit just like the rest of us. Except that he's tall, dark, gorgeous, and rich now. He's not a social misfit anymore, but he remembers his roots. He's a good friend.
Catching a note in her voice, Danny grinned.
Kate had a thing for the attorney. That was interesting, and she could handle interesting for someone else, just not her own issues. She needed to be uninteresting.
Why don't you ask him out?
Jake? We already went over this.
No, the other guy, Robbie.
Danny picked up her coffee, but only held it, frowning.
Or did I get that wrong?
Kate's own frown was almost a glower.
No, you got it right, but Brooke Richter and Lori Hayden are duking it out over him.
Danny was pretty sure they had both been cheerleaders or on the dance team.
Are they still... They're still gorgeous.
After Kate's high school transformation, she now looked almost average. The brown hair fell to her shoulders, and she was no longer the skinny skeleton she'd been back then. She filled out. And while some guys loved the wholesome, healthy look, most guys either went for the dark hair, dark eyes, sensual lips kind of look, or girls who looked like Brooke Richter and Lori Hayden. Kate slapped a hand on the table, excited again.
What about Jonah Bannon?
The coffee was lowered back to the table.
What about him?
Danny sat back, her frown forming again.
I was joking yesterday, but is there something going on between you? That'd be great. Joan is better than Jake. I love watching my partner squirm.
I didn't know he had it in him to snipe so much as he did yesterday. Bannon this and Bannon that. All I heard yesterday. Kate continued, and Jake's worshipped the ground Jonah walks on. Until yesterday. That all changed now.
Kate.
Huh?
I'm really just here to do my own thing. Nothing else.
So, no Jonah?
No Jonah.
Oh, she sighed. Okay, I'll get over it. You should still come to the fair tonight with us. I even made Robbie promise not to bring Brooke or Lori. It's a date-free night, except for Bubba. He doesn't count, anyway, since he's Aiden's husband, and Julia is going to be gone for the weekend. She's at some clinic or conference or something. She won't even be there.
Who's all going?
Me, Robbie, Aiden, and Bubba, and I think Stilts is coming, too.
Stilts?
He migrated from Northway, but he's fun. Just the group. Jonah will probably be with his crew. Hawk, G, Corey Lyles, those guys. I don't know if you remember them from school, but they're all still friends. Badasses back then, badasses now. Well, she amended, they're more responsible now, but no. They'll be at the beer gardens, and it's a little disgusting to watch women fall over themselves for Jonah. Although, Aiden likes to rate them all later when we're at her house. Jonah doesn't much appreciate it, especially when she gives the reasoning for her ranks, too. If you want entertainment, that's funny.
Did she want to go?
No.
Should she go?
Yes.
When and where?
She accepted her defeat.
Seriously? Kate broke into a wide smile.
We're going around 8:30 to check all the barns, and we'll end up at the beer gardens later that night.
This is great, Danny. What's your number?
Danny wrote her number down, and around 9 that night, she was at the beer gardens. It was set up inside a white barn, with 2 large green-painted doors opened. Picnic tables were spread out all over the inside, with a section in one corner where beer was being sold. From where Danny stood, she could see a thick crowd had formed as people waited to pay for their cups. Some left with a pitcher filled and a stack of plastic cups in the other hand. The entire place was still warm. Danny's hair stuck to the back of her neck. She knew it'd be even hotter inside, but 2 large barn fans were set up outside the entrance, and she spied another one by a side door. Even over the fans' loud noise, she could still hear loud murmurs of conversations, laughter, and cheering inside. She wondered if she should try the side door. She could sneak in and see if she spotted the rest, but Kate called earlier and said everyone was running late. Danny came a bit later than she had planned. Kate instructed her to look around the beer gardens first. The group was going to congregate there before going through the animal barns. She hoped to avoid walking into the beer gardens alone, but looking around...
Hey.
Jake was behind her, dressed in a blue polo and jeans. His hair was wet, and he ran a hand through the wet locks. He was dressed for the evening, but that wasn't whom she saw. He held a confused look in his eyes, like he was still wondering if she was staying or going, and Danny didn't think it was about being at the beer gardens. His shoulders slumped forward, and he put his hands in his pockets. In that moment, she saw the little boy who'd been her best friend. The boy who always shuffled behind her, kicking rocks ahead with his hands stuffed in his front pockets. She felt an ache at the memory, but he jerked his head toward the corner.
You going in there?
Thinking about it.
Yeah, me too.
He itched behind his ear.
Look, you and Jonah, you two are so opposite, it kind of spun me, the thought of you with someone else. I know lots of years have passed, and realistically, you've probably been with other guys, but it feels like we just broke up last week. I don't know if that makes sense. We broke up, and you were gone the next day. I didn't have time to...
adjust.
Yeah.
I'm not here to take you away from my sister.
I know.
Did he... Because she didn't want to deal with him thinking that or saying something to her sister, so she thought that, too. Good gracious, she had enough on her plate. She studied him a moment, but didn't push it. She supposed that was an issue she'd have to wait and see how it played out, and hearing an outburst of laughter, she gestured behind her.
I think...
Okay, yeah.
Jake nodded as he stayed put. You're not coming?
I'm gonna sit tight for a little while.
Danny took a second look. He was exhausted. He either didn't want to be seen going in with her, or he wanted a moment to collect himself. The Jake she knew always liked those brief seconds before. He liked to ready himself. Okay. Danny nodded and turned the corner. Maybe she should have taken a page from Jake's book and gotten prepared, because once she stood in that doorway, she was so not prepared. It was like in the movies. People saw her and the room grew quiet. It sounded like a collective hush, and Danny knew the cause. She began to turn away. It was instinct to run, but she stopped herself. That wouldn't help either. Someone laughed in the corner and stood up, starting a slow clap. The rumors are true, and our mysterious friend has returned home. The lighting inside was dim, but Danny thought she recognized Aiden Bannon. The clapping took off, slow and tentative at first, but then thunderous and fast by the end. Danny was fighting against rolling her eyes. She didn't want to piss people off further. Danny's ears were ringing from the clapping. She waved both hands in the air. Okay, stop. Please. It took a little bit, but when it was quiet enough, someone yelled out, Where you been, Danny?
Looking good. Damn good.
A few wolf whistles and laughter broke out, but Danny ducked her shoulders and moved to the back corner where she thought Aiden was located. She was right. Around a table in the back, she spotted Aiden, Jonah's sister, with her husband. His massive bulk hadn't changed or gotten softer over the years. Kate sat alongside who Danny figured was Robbie Gray. Kate was right, tall, dark, and gorgeous now. And another guy with a medium build and dark hair pulled into a ponytail. Hey, Danny, Kate called out, coming toward her. She hooked her elbow, pulling her closer to the table. Let me introduce and reintroduce. She turned toward Aiden and Bubba first. As they were introduced, Danny couldn't help but think how these people had never been her friends, yet they seemed to want to be her friends now. Growing up how she did, with whom she did, she instantly wondered what their agenda was, but no. Jonah didn't operate like that, and this was his sister. Kate might have had her own goal, but Danny told herself to relax. Aiden was always known to be kind. Danny searched for any malice intent in her wide and soft eyes, but she couldn't find any. Jonah's sister shared his genes. While he was dark and lean, she was blonde and petite, but both had the same striking eyes. They shared the same cheekbones as well.
Danny, Kate pointed to Ponytail Guy. This is Stilts. I told you that he migrated from Northway. I'm not a goose or a bear, Katie. I didn't migrate. It's not like I go north during the summers and south for the winters.
You're my big teddy bear, Stilts.
Aiden laughed as she leaned closer to him, resting against his shoulder. It was obvious they were close. He gazed down at her with genuine affection, his eyes warming. He said,
Then you can say I migrated, but not you, Kate. I'm not a damn goose.
Everyone from Northway should migrate to Craigstown. You're just the only goose in the town with a brain.
Kate laughed, unhooking her elbow from Danny's. Robbie reached around her laughing form and extended a hand.
Hi, Danny. Remember me? I know we didn't know each other that well, but times change. Thank goodness, right?
Hi, Robbie. I do remember you.
Take a seat.
He pointed to the empty stool on Kate's other side.
It's good to see you again.
Danny, Kate pointed. Please tell Stilts that he kind of looks like a goose. See, his mouth and chin could be a beak, you know, one of those long black beaks.
It's nice to meet you, Danny.
Stilts offered his hand.
Don't mind these guys. Not only are they drunk, but their maturity levels returned to high school, where it must have been cool to pretend everyone was some form of bird. And speaking of, Kate, if you're gonna liken me to poultry, at least let it be something cool, like
a turkey,
Aiden shouted, giggling.
This is going from bad to worse. I know.
Bubba leaned forward, and everyone quieted.
You could be one of those flamingos.
Aiden and Kate shrieked, throwing their hands back.
The goose was better,
Stilts groaned. He said to Danny,
They've been drinking. You can't tell at all, right?
He winked. Danny noted the 8 empty glasses left on the table. They'd gotten there earlier than expected. Robbie thumped him on the shoulder.
Chin up, mate. Kate told me I was an opossum the first 5 months I got back. She has to be an animal.
Stilts pointed to Danny. Danny was caught. She was half amused and half horrified.
She's a swan.
Kate smiled, and Danny blinked at the sincerity in that smile. Then everything was interrupted. Jonah drew abreast the table, and his sister lunged for him, hugging him. 3 other guys followed him. Danny remembered Hawk from high school. They'd been the bad boys everyone wanted to be with, or just to be like. Jonah had been their leader with Hawk as his best friend and enforcer. With the same mohawk, an even bigger muscular build, and tattoos covering his neck, Danny shuddered. He looked like he was still the best enforcer.
Oh, Jonah grimaced as he caught Bubba's gaze. My little sis is drunk. Good job, brother-in-law.
Bubba shrugged and grinned, and took a large gulp of his own drink.
Ow!
Aiden swatted at her brother and missed.
What are you all crabby about?
Jonah looked up and caught Danny's gaze, but he answered,
Nothing.
He shrugged off her hold.
Take my sister, Bubs. I gotta get a drink.
Kate gasped. How many tonight, do you think, Aiden?
You guys, Jonah groaned.
Oh,
Aiden scrunched her face, concentrating.
I'm thinking 5 girls tonight.
Yep.
Kate gave Jonah the once-over.
Definitely 5, at least. He's got the trendy jeans on tonight with his white t-shirt. He'll get at least 5 tonight.
Jonah rolled his eyes and left with Hawk. The rest followed behind.
I hate my brother. I hate how he got the good genes in the family.
Excuse me?
Kate asked in disbelief.
Do you not see yourself? You're gorgeous, Aiden. You know the one girl who's so beautiful that she's above scrutiny from anyone else? That's you.
She snorted.
Thank God you're nice. Otherwise, you'd be a bitch.
Oh, please.
Aiden rolled her eyes.
Danny.
Kate looked to her.
Tell me that you agree.
Kate's right. Aiden snorted, gesturing to her.
Have you looked in the mirror, Danny? You've got one of those stunning, serene looks that make men just drool. Literally.
Aiden stuck out her tongue.
I'm not like that.
Bubba wrapped his arms around his wife and murmured something in her ear. Aiden blushed and turned to whisper back. Kate shook her head, a fond smile lingering over her mouth as she watched the married couple. It was evident how close everyone was, and Danny had a feeling this conversation had been brought up a few times. Finishing his drink, Robbie stood up and asked her,
Danny, what do you drink?
Nothing. Not tonight, anyway. Come on, that's why we're at the beer gardens. Fair only comes once a year.
Kate held up her glass.
You know my drink.
Robbie gave her a similar fond look that she'd just been wearing, and he took her glass.
Only a few more, then you had too many.
Come on, I'm off duty tonight.
Are you ever really?
Danny teased, but she caught sight of Jake finally coming inside. He was looking around the place, his jaw clenched, and he was moving stiffly. A stiff Jake never meant good things. And when he reached behind him, his hand extending to someone else, she let out a quiet breath of air. A knot started to tighten in her stomach.
On second thought, I'll take a whiskey.
All right.
Robbie nodded his approval before disappearing in the crowd. Stilts whistled.
You have changed, Danny.
Says the one who never knew you.
Kate barked out a laugh. But Danny was still watching Jake, and after a moment, a feminine hand touched his. That's when Danny knew for sure. Julia hadn't gone to some clinic for the weekend.
Hey, Danny.
Kate was saying something to her in the background, but a buzzing sound filled Danny's head. She felt the blood draining from her face. She knew, but she hadn't. Not until she actually saw her sister step inside. Julia was thin before she left, but she looked even more now.
Her cheekbones, nose, and chin were similar to Julia Roberts's. It had been a laugh in their family because of the similar names. It was maybe a bit more pronounced since she'd lost some weight. She was wearing a white cardigan with a billowy skirt and white top underneath. As Danny studied her sister, Julia pulled the ends of her sweater closed. A normal person might have assumed she was cold from that gesture, but Danny knew better. Julia was guarding herself. That cardigan was like her armor. She did the same when they were children, always needing something to cloak her. Danny used to think it showed her insecurity, but that never mattered. Julia would slink to the background and whisper her complaints in Erica's ear. Erica was larger than life. She had no problem doing whatever she wanted, wearing whatever she wanted. Julia was almost the exact opposite. She was too controlled. Danny was staring right at her sister. She got a few moments to study her before everyone else realized what two presences were among them. A second hush fell over the room, and her sister looked up, her eyebrows pulled together. She glanced to Jake, then followed his gaze all the way to... Danny readied herself. She knew it was coming. Julia saw her. Her eyes widened, and her chest rose in a jerking motion. Both sisters stared at each other. "Oh," Kate murmured. Aiden laid a hand on her arm. Danny wasn't sure what she was supposed to feel. This was a moment that was supposed to be lived in infamy, but all she felt was emptiness. Gone. 10 years passed, and it was like she never left. The same derision and superiority lined her sister's shoulders, making them straighten as she stood to her fullest height. Anger filled Julia's eyes. She whipped around to Jake, and her hand lifted. She was shaking it in the air, in sharp, quick motions. Jake tugged her closer. His hand was in the air, too, but he was making a soothing movement. When he bent his head down, then snuck a glance to Danny from the corner of his eyes, she went into motion. They were talking about her. She could already imagine it. Julia was saying, "How could you? Why is she here?" Like her own sister was a dog to her, underneath her, asking for her crumbs. Danny pushed through the crowd. "Oh, no, you don't." Julia snapped to attention, and her eyes widened, seeing Danny still covering the distance between them and coming in fast. She looked panicked, but Danny didn't care. It was going to happen sooner or later. Danny'd rather have it done now. She wanted a fight. The beer gardens remained quiet. Julia tried to hide behind Jake, but Danny reached and hauled her in front. "You do not hide behind him." Julia snapped to attention. And there was the Julia Danny remembered, eyes blazing. She shoved at Danny's hold on her arm.
"Excuse me? Don't touch me!"
"Then don't get Jake to fight for you." Danny squared up to her. Their noses were almost touching. She could almost breathe on her.
"You sent him to tell me to stay away. I'm right here. Say it to me yourself now."
"You can't come home and expect everything to be the same."
"When?" Danny shot back. "When did I demand for things to be the same? Because I'd rather be gone again than have things the same. So when did I, in your imaginary conversation with me, demand things to be the same?"
"Excuse me?"
Danny wanted to go back at her, a smart-ass comment on her tongue. She swallowed it. The emptiness that she had been feeling before was gone. It was filled up with years of anger. This wasn't how she hoped her first conversation would go with her sister, but it was happening nonetheless. Her sister would run any other time. She couldn't this time. They were in public. People would talk about how she'd been the coward of the two O'Hara sisters.
"I have as much right to see Aunt Catherine as you do."
Jake frowned. Danny knew that he knew. She didn't really want to see Catherine. She just didn't want Julia to think she could make commands and she'd obey.
"You do not." Julia's eyes were blazing again. "And she doesn't want to see you."
"Then the house."
Julia quieted.
"What about the house?"
"I want to come and see if any of my things are still there."
Julius snorted.
Yeah, right. Erica trashed all of your stuff, and what she didn't, I did.
She was smug, taking pleasure in her words.
We had a bonfire one night. The rest of your crap got burned.
She leaned back against Jake.
If you don't believe me, ask Jake. He was there.
Guilt filled her ex's gaze before he looked down to the ground. Danny gritted her teeth. She wasn't surprised, but she was surprised at the added pang in her chest.
I want a picture of Mom.
No.
Why not?
Because you left for 10 years. You're not owed one.
So there are some pictures left?
Catherine got along with their mother as well as Julia got along with her. If her sisters burned her things, she wouldn't have been shocked to find her mother's sister doing the same to her remnants.
I don't know, okay? Julia confessed, some of the fight leaving.
She quieted her voice, and her shoulders loosened a bit.
We didn't burn her stuff on purpose. There was a fire in the house. A lot of stuff was lost, but I remember seeing a few pictures of Mom. I can't recall where they're at right now.
Julia was fidgeting with her fingers and her throat was moving. She kept swallowing. She was lying. Danny saw it. She knew her sister's tells and she was reading them right now. Danny wanted to call bullshit on her sister, but she refrained. It was their first meeting in 10 years. There'd been no hugs, no handshakes, and no tears of happiness. There hadn't even been a welcome home. Julia hadn't said she missed her, and Danny didn't think she missed her sister back either. There was so much they needed to say to each other, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they could go through life not talking at all. No, Danny considered it. It was tempting, but she knew at some point they'd have to talk. Jake. Erica. But Danny wanted to focus on one thing right then. She wanted a picture of her mom. And whether Julia was going to give it to her or not, she was going to get it. One way or another. 9. She was sitting on a bench toward the north end of the Fair's Pond. It had been man-made, so it wasn't large, and it couldn't be classified as a lake, but it wasn't the typical mud-like pond that Danny always thought when she heard that word. No. This body of water was serene and calm, and there were lights set up all around it. A path circled it with a few benches set up so people could sit and enjoy the view. Because she was sitting at the north end, she saw Jonah coming long before she would have heard the quiet crunch of his shoes on the path. Not that she would have heard much. He was silent and almost ghost-like. He sat beside her, leaning back to mirror how she was sitting. She kept her gaze trained on the water. It always soothed her, any water. She needed that soothing at that moment, too. She slid her hands inside her pockets. I'm good. I just needed a breather.
You know what I do, right?
She nodded. You take care of Falls River for us.
I'm in charge of the town's waterfront. I oversee everything. So if someone wants to build on the river, I'm the one who gives permission to their permits or not. There's a lot of other stuff I do, but the one area that I get a kick out of is when I check on the park. There's always this whole line of little kids there. They're all lined up, one by one, shoulder to shoulder, just throwing rocks into the water. You'd think they'd get tired of it, but they never do.
He bent down, scooped up a rock, and tossed it in the pond. They feel powerful when they do that. Danny watched the waves ripple. My ex-fiancé was a psychologist with the Red Cross. He told me that one time. He tried to explain to me why the kids in the orphanage always wanted to go to the ocean. She was talking, and she had no idea why. She'd barely acknowledged Boone, and now she was talking about the orphanage? Maybe she should have been shocked at her confession, but she couldn't put the brakes on what she was saying. She frowned. Maybe she was getting tired of holding everything in? Jonah glanced at her. She saw it from the corner of her eye. She still didn't turn to him, even when he asked, so quietly,
"You were engaged?"
She nodded.
I'm sorry.
Danny shook her head. A sad laugh slipped out. I thought you'd talk about the orphanage, not the guy. She looked now, a grin teasing at her mouth. We'll go with him. I'd rather have that conversation than the other one. Jonah grinned back.
Now I don't know what to ask.
He laughed softly.
So you were engaged, huh?
Her head fell back and she laughed with him. It was the first genuine laugh she'd had, and then she sobered because she couldn't remember the last time she laughed for real. She sighed. That felt good. I haven't done that in a while. She waited for the line. She looked good laughing. She should do it more often. It was always the same message. Be happy, don't be sad. Or, at the very least, don't show you're sad. Be fake. When Jonah didn't say either, and she waited a beat to see if he would then, and he didn't, she murmured, Thank you.
For what?
For not telling me to laugh more. For not telling me to be fake. He shrugged.
Trust me, I get it. And I like reality, not fake shit.
My family's the opposite. They want fake every day. She gestured back where the beer gardens were located. Julia's not changed. She's lying to me, too. I asked for a picture of Mom, and she said she couldn't recall where she saw they were. That's bullshit. She knows exactly where they are. She just doesn't want me to have any.
Why a picture of your mom?
Because I don't have any. Because she'd been stranded in a place for so long and she didn't know if she was going to live or die. Because she kept thinking about her mom, kept feeling her presence, and she just wanted to see her face one more time. Danny felt her throat closing up and some tears threatening to spill. She didn't want to cry. She couldn't remember the last time she did that, either.
I get that.
Jonah nodded.
There were a few things I wanted of my mom's when she died. They were small things, but they were damned important to me. One was a picture of her and me, the other was a picture of her and Aiden. It was nice to have a picture of my mom in my wallet. Comforting. It helped, especially when I was around my dad's family. They're like sharks, always circling for blood in the water.
Water. She spoke without thinking. I was in a storm. I took a job as a teacher at this orphanage and we got stranded in this building. The storm wasn't too long, but when it was over, it was all happening again. She was back there and she heard that eerie silence. Some of the kids were outside playing. She ran out and grabbed whom she could. The first wave was coming down. She couldn't grab them all. A lump was sitting at the back of her throat. It was blocking her air, and she could barely grasp for oxygen again. The water slammed against our building, and the bottom floor was swept away. It was there, and then it wasn't. Part of the wall maintained, and we climbed over to the next building. Then the wall collapsed. We were stuck in that second building. They couldn't get out. No one knew where they were. Once it was over, it was a while until we heard the search parties. We could hear them, and we'd call out. She blinked a few times, feeling the tears falling free. They didn't hear us for the longest time. We were so weak, and a lot of the kids couldn't move. Some were injured from running into the building. Some got hurt trying to get into the second building. Some were hit when the wall collapsed against where we were. She was in that room again. Her throat was burning. Her stomach was hurting. The smell of urine was so thick in the room. They were throwing up. And then, nothing. They all just fell silent.
You were in a tsunami?
It hit a small island where we were.
A tsunami's not a storm. It's a natural disaster.
No one knows about where I was. Now the shock started in. She hadn't talked about it with anyone, even Boone, May, no one. Panicked, she turned to him.
Don't tell anyone.
I won't. I promise.
He patted her hand, or it might have meant to be a pat. His hand touched hers and began to leave, but she turned hers over quickly. She grasped onto his hand and held it. Thank you. Danny was staring right into his eyes. Only a few inches separated them, and she felt her lips lifting in a half-grin. Erica was right. She once said your eyes could spin a rock into a frenzy. I see what she meant. His eyes darkened.
That was a long time ago.
I still remember. Danny saw the dreaminess of his eyes. They were a dark brown, and they were almost black when he felt strong emotions, like he was feeling now. They could smolder, burn, get heated, but she saw something Erica hadn't. There was a calming effect to them, too. Peace. She saw a refuge in them. You're not the guy everyone thinks you are you?
No.
He regarded her with a faint grin.
I know one of your secrets. Now you know one of mine.
10. She sat on the bench for another 10 minutes after Jonah left. He asked if she wanted to go back to the beer gardens with him, but she didn't have it in her. When he left, it was an odd feeling that settled over her. She felt comforted, but also exposed. One of her secrets wasn't a secret anymore. She hadn't gone into detail, but he knew about the storm. Her head was down as she walked the rest of the path around the pond, circling it toward where her car was parked.
Danny!
She looked up now and saw Aiden waving to her. The group had moved to one of the farthest tables outside the beer gardens. It was the closest to where the cars were lined up. Jonah sat at the end of their table, with a redhead trying to hang on him. His arm wasn't around her. He wasn't even paying her attention, instead listening to Hawk across the table, but Danny could tell the redhead wasn't giving up. Hawk had his own woman, clad in black leather, and they seemed perfect. Aiden separated from the group, crossing to her.
Hey, are you leaving?
I think that's for the best. I don't want to air any more dirty laundry, and I will if I see Julia again. Apparently, I'm in the confessing mood tonight. I think it's time to turn in.
Look.
Aiden's tone turned serious.
I wasn't outside when you talked to your sister, but in case you're leaving because of Kate, I want you to know she's not always this power-hungry. She told me about your conversation earlier today and how she wants you to break up Julia and Jake. She's not using you or anything, if that's what you were concerned about. It's just she's affected more than the rest of us. I have Jonah, and everyone loves Bubba. Robbie's accepted no matter what, you know. Everyone thinks Stilts is the most hilarious thing that's come to town in a long time. So for most of us, yeah, we're affected by the small-town politics, but it's more for Kate. She's not accepted.
Danny could relate.
Yeah. Aiden looked guilty. Kate was so excited when she heard you were back in town. Julia has made her life hell. She's gone out of her way to be cruel to Kate, and everyone knows it's just because Kate is Jake's partner. She thinks he's going to leave her for Kate or something.
Kate's not in O'Hara. Danny rolled her eyes. Doesn't Julia know? That's a dating requirement for Jake.
Try telling that to your sister's jealousy. It rears an ugly head sometimes.
I have, in the past. Never works. Aiden laughed and then gestured toward the parking lot.
We're all going to go to May's Grill. Would you come with us? I know it's going to be crazy busy there, but the whole group would like to get to know you better.
She remembered Jonah's warning. It didn't hurt to have friends in a small town, so Danny found herself agreeing to meet them there. Once inside the Mustang, she didn't start it right away. She rested her head against her seat and let out a deep breath. What the hell am I doing? Friends? That's what she was doing now? Trying to be included by a group? Danny never belonged in crowds like those. She didn't have friends. She wasn't even sure if she knew how to be a friend now. Thump, thump.
Jumping, Danny gasped and saw Jonah grinning at her through her window. He motioned for her to unlock the passenger door, and he climbed in once she did.
"You looked like you were sleeping. Did our talk wear you out?"
He winked.
"Or maybe it was holding my hand. I know it must have been overwhelming to touch these glorious things."
He held his hands in the air, turning them around like he was modeling. She groaned.
"There's the old cocky Jonah from high school. I was almost convinced you were a nice guy."
"Hush now. No spreading that secret around. You were supposed to have forgotten all about it."
His laugh grew more serious.
"Jokes aside, what are you doing?"
"I'm waiting for the parking lot to clear out."
"What are you doing?"
"I need a ride to Maze."
Danny shook her head even as she started the car.
"What is it about you that everyone loves? It's like you have some billboard on you that says, 'Like me, I'm adorable.' Does everyone do what you ask of them? I need a ride, so therefore I must give you a ride? Is that how it works?"
But even as she was grumbling, she knew how it worked. He was a good guy, but he was also charming, charismatic, and he had a hell of a body. She knew not many could resist when he asked for something.
"Oh, good God, I'm becoming one of them." "What?"
He seemed genuinely puzzled.
"Nothing."
"You know,"
he narrowed his eyes, studying her,
"you're not like everyone else. Some girls act all tough and are mean right off the bat because they're protecting themselves. I get that. I do. And I know that women like me. And then there are other girls who..."
"Throw themselves at you."
"Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's nice and it's what I need after a hard day at work. But to be honest, I think you have so much crap to deal with you couldn't ever see me in that light."
He lowered his voice.
"That's why I like hanging out with you. That's part of the reason I showed up yesterday for dinner and sat on the bench with you tonight."
It made sense, but she wanted to make sure he understood. "You're not responsible for me."
"Yes, I am."
"No." He softened his tone.
"Let me be responsible. Let one person care for you."
"I didn't tell you that stuff to make you feel like this." He shrugged.
"You tell that person something, trust them, and they have your back. You do it back. Friendship. It's part of the package."
She held in her breath, a knot forming in her gut. She didn't know what to say.
"Friends?" He grinned.
"Looks like you're stuck with me."
And as she headed out of the parking lot and followed behind the rest to May's Grill, she realized she didn't even want to argue against it. That horrified her the most. Or it should have.
11. Aiden called it. May's Grill was filled to the max, and it was a mix between the fair's beer garden inhabitants, the regulars, and tourists who traveled up during the summer for Tenderfoot Rush. All three groups came together at May's Grill, and Jonah was right. Jonah tapped her hand and asked, leaning close to her ear,
"What do you drink?"
"Just a water, thanks."
"Are you sure?"
"Yeah."
"Okay."
He nodded toward the corner.
"Gang's over there."
When Danny arrived, Aiden and Kate moved to her side.
"Where were you?"
"I was about to send Bubba out to your home."
"I held back and waited for the parking lot to clear." Shifting on her feet, Kate glanced over her shoulder.
"Did I see you come in with Jonah?"
"Yeah, he wanted a ride." Danny shrugged. Seeing Robbie on the dance floor with someone, she asked Kate, "Is that one of the girls he's interested in?" Kate nodded, making a face.
"That's Lori. She was here, just waiting for him once we arrived."
"Then in that case," Danny nodded toward the pool table. "Want to play a game of pool?"
"Love to."
Kate looked so relieved.
"Thank you, and maybe we can flirt it up with a couple guys over there."
Danny added, "Robbie won't know what hit him."
"Damn straight,"
Kate laughed, ducking around Jonah as he returned from the bar.
"Hey, Jonah, I'm stealing your ride. She's going to be my sidekick for the rest of the night."
She tapped on his shoulder and pointed to a table of women, all eyeing him up and down.
Just a word of advice? Avoid that table. They look a little crazed tonight.
Danny grabbed the water from Jonah's offered hand, but May showed up at that time.
We're swamped. Can you help behind the counter?
Yeah? Danny glanced to the rest of the group. You guys wouldn't mind? Kate waved her ahead.
And have our own personal bartender? Go.
Now. We won't have to wait in line anymore.
Danny just laughed, then waved to everyone. She moved through the crowd, bypassing Robbie, who was heading back to the table with Lori in tow. Danny used to help bartend when she was younger, before her mom died, and Aunt Catherine took over. May seemed to vanish from their lives then, but Danny worked behind the bar in her travels. It was a job where she could pick up some extra cash whenever she needed it. The crowd was insane, but she didn't think it'd be too hard before she picked it back up, just like old times. Aunt May yelled in her ear, patting her on the shoulder.
Hope you didn't go rusty with your time away.
Danny merely shook her head.
Never.
Then she began filling an order, and the first hour went fast. The rest of the night passed just as quickly, but the last 30 minutes were always the worst. The drunk got drunker, and the one-nighters became more brazen with sharing their numbers. Jonah had taken residence at the end of her counter space. Every time a girl approached and her hand lingered down his arm, he'd shoot Danny a look and she'd move in. The first few were deterred when Danny announced that he'd come with her, and then one took it as a challenge to throw down, and Danny changed tactics. Now she merely slid them a watered-down Coke and pointed across the bar. She told him it came from the gentleman in the blue. There were too many gentlemen in blue to count. The girls loved it, didn't notice it was watered-down soda only, and went off in search for their mysterious gentleman. After the fifth girl, Danny slapped a towel in front of Jonah and suggested, "Must be hard, having to literally fend them off, huh? Or having another chick to do it for you?" His rich laugh was her reward, and she rolled her eyes. She gestured to the towel. If you really want to get rid of them, just get busy. I'm sure May will need all the help she can get to clean up. Robbie heard the last words as he approached the counter. He noted Jonah, who was leaving to start clearing tables.
You and Jonah seem to get along.
For now,
she winked at him.
What'll you have? Water and a Diet Coke.
Lori's had enough, huh? Danny murmured as she filled the glasses. Robbie lingered afterwards, gazing back to that table where the group was still hanging out.
Something wrong, Robbie?
Yeah.
He hunched over the bar, folding his arms on the counter.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, although we really only met tonight.
That's why I want to ask you. You're objective. You might have a different set of eyes.
He leaned closer.
Do you think, coming from your first impression, do you think Lori would make a good mother?
Whoa, what?
Danny slid a drink to another customer.
I barely remember Lori, and I haven't talked to her at all since getting back here. It's only been a few days.
Yeah, but look at her. Does she look like good mother material?
Lori was pretty. That's all Danny thought.
Look, I can only tell you what I do think, and if you're asking the bartender about the girl you're dating, you're probably dating the wrong girl.
Kate was watching them talk, but trying not to make it obvious. She ducked behind Bubba. Danny let out a breath. Go for the ones who scare you. Maybe there's a reason they scare you.
You think?
Danny lifted a shoulder, picking up a washcloth to dry out a glass.
I don't think I'm one to give advice, trust me.
Two men. One who left her and one she left. And speaking of, karma wasn't on her side. Jake walked into the bar. He and Robbie crossed paths and did the whole guy head nod thing and kept on walking. Spotting her, he slowed, an unreadable mask falling over his face.
May likes an extra hand at closing time.
He nodded to May as she came down the counter.
Hey, May.
Jake.
Her eyes skimmed over him and Danny, then slapped the counter.
You know, thanks for coming tonight, but I think we'll be all right. Jonah's here, and Katie's over there, too.
Kate laughed at something Bubba said, slapping him on the shoulder. She looked at Robbie, who was standing by Lori, and missed the first half of Bubba's huge shoulder. Her hand slipped off, and she fell off her bar stool.
Yeah, Kate's drunk. I think I'll stick around for a bit.
He jerked his head toward the kitchen.
Got some coffee back there?
Help yourself.
She moved to close tabs for waiting customers. Danny kept drying glasses, and Jake returned, holding a white styrofoam cup.
You seem to be getting along pretty well with some folks.
That wasn't what he wanted to talk about. I don't want to talk about Julia.
Noted.
He glanced around, frowning.
Is that Jonah wiping tables?
Yeah. Danny grabbed another washcloth and tray. You can help him. Then she headed to the back, and she stayed there washing dishes the rest of the night. Jonah came to help at one point. She loaded up the trays of dirty dishes, put them through the cleaning machine, and he'd pulled them out. She tried to tell him he didn't need to help, but Jonah just ignored her as he began putting the dried dishes where they belonged. Danny said, I'm okay, you know, if that's what this is all about the storm. I'll probably join my aunt for a nightcap and crash at her place. Jonah just laughed as the machine beeped it was done. He lifted up the doors and pulled out another rack of clean dishes.
You think this is about you? Maybe this has nothing to do with you. Ever thought about that, Miss Natural Disaster?
He winked.
Maybe I'm the one using you. Maybe it has nothing to do with making sure you're okay.
You're using me?
It can happen. People use people all the time. Why do you think I'm any different? Like...
He paused.